Please find again Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, and we're looking today at verses 24 through 27. And the message has the title, Moses Turns His Back on Egypt. Moses turns his back on Egypt. Now, it could be that some of you are saying, well, this sounds like a history lesson. This man's talking about someone who evidently lived a long time ago. And you might even be going farther than that. You might be saying, I don't need to listen because I'm not interested in history. Well, we are going to be dealing with history, but we're going to be dealing with living history. And what I mean by living history is merely this, that there is tremendous meaning and application in the choice that Moses made many, many centuries ago for our lives today. This is not just a dead letter, what we have here in Hebrews chapter 11. Moses made a choice, and the choice that he made speaks to us. It's relevant for us today. And in fact, I'm going to urge upon you to do as Moses did. I would have all of you to choose as Moses chose. Now, we're here in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, and this, of course, is the great faith chapter. You know that the three great graces of the Christian life are faith, hope, and love. And one chapter of the New Testament is devoted to each of these three great graces. We have here in Hebrews 11 the faith chapter. Sometimes it's called the Christian Hall of Faith. And if you would look at Romans chapter 8, you would find the hope chapter. And if you would look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you would find the love chapter. But we're here in this faith chapter, and Moses occupies a good bit of space here in this chapter. It's not surprising that he does, because Moses was one of the greatest men to ever occupy the human stage. We shouldn't give too much credit to Moses. We should give the credit to God who made Moses the great man that he was. In trying to convey to you, though, something of the greatness of Moses, I will take you back to what I have said on previous occasions, and that is that there are three men in the Old Testament period who tower over all the other men. We might say they stand head and shoulders over the other great people of faith. Abraham was the first of those, and then Moses, and then David. And so we're privileged today to be, as it were, in the company of this man Moses. And Scripture enables us to be in his company. And we today look at this choice that Moses made, as I said, centuries ago. You see there in verse 25, choosing. Well, this is what we're interested in today. The choice that Moses made. And the choice that Moses made was to leave behind Egypt and to do something else with his life. Now, I want to divide the sermon into three parts today. I want you to think with me, first of all, about what Moses turned from. And secondly, what Moses turned toward. And then thirdly, why Moses made this choice. What he turned from, what he turned toward, and why he chose as he did. Why he made this choice to turn from something and to turn toward something else. And so there are the three divisions of the sermon today. Now, think with me, first of all, about what Moses turned from. And you remember the story of this man Moses. You remember how that Pharaoh was putting to death the baby boys of the Israelites there in the land of Egypt. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, you can't outsmart God. You can't outfox God. And God had special designs on this man Moses. And so Moses was protected when he was a child. You remember how his mother put him there on the river in this little ark that she made for him. And how he just happened to be discovered by Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter took him into Pharaoh's house. Doesn't God have a delicious sense of humor? Pharaoh has said all of the Israelite baby boys must perish. And God puts one of those Israelite baby boys right there under Pharaoh's nose, as it were. And so Moses grows up in the house of Pharaoh. This Jewish boy, this Hebrew boy, grows up in Pharaoh's house. And when we come to the portion of Moses' life that's described here in Hebrews chapter 11, Moses is by now a young man. I want you to know that Moses, there in Egypt, he could have enjoyed, if he had continued there, three things. He could have enjoyed great privilege. In fact, he had up to that point enjoyed great privilege. Why? It's right here in your passage. You see there where we're told that in verse 24 that he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. My, 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 the privileges attached to that. The son of Pharaoh's daughter. And so had he continued in Egypt, he could have continued enjoying this wonderful privilege. And just to make it easy for us, I'm going to use words that begin with the letter P. Now we've got privilege. This is one thing that Moses had enjoyed and could have continued to enjoy in Egypt. And then the second word is pleasure. Yes, Moses undoubtedly could have enjoyed every pleasure that the human heart could desire if he had been willing to continue there in Egypt, being known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. No pleasure that he desired, I say, would have been withheld from him. And then the third word, beginning with the same letter, the letter P, is the word possessions. Moses already had enjoyed all the possessions that he could have ever hoped to enjoy, and he could have continued to enjoy those possessions. Now, I think that the kind of life that I'm describing for Moses there in Egypt is the life that many people right here in our own community desire today. If you were to hold before people here in Jackson today a life of privilege, a life of pleasure, and a life of possessions, they would say, "Why, I'll take that kind of life. That's more than I could ever hope for. That's as good as life gets. A life of privilege, a life of pleasure, a life of possessions. Who could ask for anything more? That is all the human heart could ever desire." Well, Moses had those things, and he could have continued to have those things. But ladies and gentlemen, those things were all attached to his life there in Egypt. And we're talking today about Moses turning his back on Egypt, which is another way of saying Moses turned his back on privilege. He turned his back on pleasures. He turned his back on possessions. Why? Something higher captivated his heart. And all the reason that people today are so attached to privilege and pleasure and possessions is because they have not been captivated by this higher thing that Moses was captivated by. I wonder what is holding you in its grip today. And by the way, we're all in the grip of something today. I wonder if you're in the grip of Egypt today. I wonder if this is the life that you desire and the life that you want to hang on to at all costs. The life of privilege and pleasure and possessions. It may be that you do not have those things, but you want them and you're striving for them today. And you're saying, "Oh, if I could just have these things, then I could not ask for anything more." It's possible to be in the grip of something that makes privilege and pleasures and possessions seem very small. And Moses was in the grip of this thing that made these things that he enjoyed in Egypt seem very small indeed. Yes, he had his privilege and he had his pleasures and he had his possessions, but there was something higher, something nobler, something that was holding him in its grip that made him willing to turn his back on privilege and pleasure and possessions. Well, what is this higher thing? We turn now to the second division of the sermon. We've talked about what Moses turned from. He turned from Egypt, which is another way of saying he turned from these things I've been talking about. He turned from the life of privilege and the life of pleasures and the life of possessions. But what did Moses turn toward? Well, some would say, as they look at this passage, that Moses sure made a terrible choice. And if so, it would seem, just by picking out a few of the words that we have here in these verses. Look there at verse 25. Affliction. Affliction. What's that word mean? That means trouble. That means hardship. This passage tells us that Moses turned his back on privilege and pleasures and possessions so he could be in trouble, so he could endure hardship. It would be one thing, would it not, ladies and gentlemen, if we had read here in this passage of Scripture that Moses laid aside the privilege and the pleasures and the possessions of Egypt because he found a place that could offer him greater privilege and greater pleasures and greater possessions. We'd say, well, that choice makes perfectly good sense. That's not what we're told here today. Some of us here are baseball fans, and we know about the rules in baseball that govern this thing that's called free agency. And after a player has played out his contract with one team, he's a free agent. And he can leave millions and millions and millions of dollars behind with the team that he'd been playing for in order to play for a team that offers him more millions. More millions. And some of us who happen to be fans of the St. Louis Cardinals are keenly aware of this at this particular time. We know about a star player laying aside millions to continue playing with the Cardinals so he could have more millions playing with another team. And that's not what we have here with Moses. We don't have Moses laying aside Egypt and all its privilege and all of its pleasures and all of its possessions so he could have greater privilege. Greater pleasures. Greater possessions. No, that's not the choice that Moses makes. He turns his back on that so he can have affliction. Affliction. And it gets worse. Not only so he can have affliction, but so he can be identified, not with the Egyptians who were kind of the elite of that time, but no, so he can be identified with these Israelites. Look again at verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He identifies himself with these Israelites, these Jews, the people of God. What a choice. Turns his back on Egypt so that he can be identified with why these people were regarded as the scum of the earth. They were regarded as being beneath the Egyptians. In fact, we read that the Egyptians loathed the people of Israel. And you know that when Moses made this choice, these people of Israel were slaves there in Egypt. They were the slaves of the Egyptians. Now, can you imagine laying aside privilege, high standing as the son of Pharaoh's daughter so you can identify with a nation of slaves? Why, most people, if they didn't have any more information than what I have given you already, would be quick to say this man Moses was completely out of his mind. He was stark raving mad to lay aside what he laid aside so he could embrace these things. And read further there in verse 26, and you see that word reproach. That means ridicule. That means scorn. And so this is getting pretty intense, isn't it? Moses, he's got the privilege, he's got the pleasures, he's got the possessions, he's got everything, as far as most people are concerned, the human heart can desire, and yet he deliberately lays it all aside so he can have a life of hardship with a nation of slaves and be scorned and ridiculed in the process. What a choice. What a choice. I wonder if you are already wondering about the third division in the sermon. And the third division in the sermon is why Moses chose as he did. We've talked about what Moses turned from. He turned from life in Egypt. And I've tried to detail for you the nature of that life. I've said it again and again. The life of privilege, the life of pleasures, the life of possession. This is what Moses turned from. And now I've talked about what he turned toward. He turned to affliction, hardship, with a nation of slaves so he could be ridiculed and scorned. What a choice! Why? Why would Moses make such a choice? Why the author of Hebrews chapter 11 doesn't leave us in doubt. He's spending a good bit of his time here talking about Moses. He begins talking about Moses there in verse 23. You see that? And he continues talking about him there in verse 24. And down there in verse 27 and verse 28 and verse 29, he's still talking about Moses. And look at how each one of those verses begins. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. Verse 24, by faith, Moses. Verse 27, by faith. Verse 28, by faith. Verse 29, by faith. And what the author of Hebrews wants us to understand, and to understand very well, is that Moses made this breathtaking choice. Breathtaking. Stunning. Astonishing. Shocking choice. Goodbye to Egypt. Goodbye to the privilege and the pleasures and the possessions. Hello to affliction with a nation of slaves and ridicule and scorn. And the thing that made Moses do it, the thing that drove him to it, was faith. Faith. Now you may be asking, and I hope that you are, what is faith? And may I simply say that most people don't have a clue. Most people don't have a clue. Most people equate faith with positive thinking. They think that faith is just picking out something that you want to be true and convincing yourself that it will be true. Faith is kind of psyching yourself up. If I really believe something hard enough, if I believe it strongly enough, if I really, really, really believe it, that's positive thinking. That's not what drove Moses to make this choice. Not just positive thinking. Not just psyching himself up. Not just being optimistic and convincing himself that something was true. No, faith, here's the definition of faith. Don't ever forget it. Faith is believing God. Believing God. Faith, more particularly, is believing what God has said. So when the author of Hebrews tells us that Moses acted by faith, he's telling us that God had spoken to this man Moses, and Moses believed what God had said to him. That's faith. That's faith. Do you not know that Romans chapter 10 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. You can't have faith apart from the Word of God. Now, Moses had a Word from God, and he believed that Word from God. What did God say to Moses that caused Moses to make the choice that he made? I'm telling you that Moses laid aside the privilege and the pleasures and the possessions of Egypt, and he chose this life of affliction with a nation of slaves that would lead him to be scorned and ridiculed. This was the choice that he made. Why did he make it? He made it on the basis of what God had revealed to him. He made it on the basis of what God had said to him. And what was it that God had said to him? God had said to him this about affliction. Moses, whatever affliction you have to endure in the life to which I'm calling you cannot begin to compare to the glory that awaits you. Isn't that what Paul says? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, works in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I tell you, if you're a Christian today, you're a Christian because God has revealed certain things to you, and the Holy Spirit of God has enabled you to lay hold of those things in faith. And one thing that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you is that whatever affliction you have to endure in this life is tiny compared to the glory that awaits the children of God. God said, Moses, this is affliction to which I'm calling you, but it's light affliction. I'm holding in reserve glory for you such as you never imagined. So choose affliction now so you may enjoy glory in the hereafter. And God had also said something about that nation of slaves that Moses chose to identify himself with. God said to him, Moses, this nation of slaves, your nation, the nation into which you were born, this is a nation for which I have great purposes. This is a nation that is in covenant relationship with me, and I've got great plans for them. So yes, you identify yourself with them, God said. But in identifying yourself with them, you're going to share in the great plans that I have for them. God said that to Moses, and Moses listened, and he heard, and he believed. And I told you that Moses chose reproach, and reproach, there the word is in verse 26. And the word reproach means scorn, ridicule. But God had also said something about that to Moses, and Moses believed. God said, the reproach, Moses, that I'm calling you to endure is the reproach of Jesus Christ Himself. And so God caused Moses to lift up his eyes from his present set of circumstances, to look down the corridor of time and to see the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God said to Moses, whatever you endure by way of reproach, understand, Moses, that it is the reproach of Jesus Christ. And you are sharing something in sharing His reproach that is honorable, that is high, that is noble. In choosing reproach, you are identifying yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And what you do for the people of God, you do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of you may be a little hesitant about this. You may say, well, now wait just a minute, Pastor. You're talking about Moses back there in the book of Exodus, and he didn't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the Lord Jesus didn't come along until New Testament times. Well, we're in the New Testament here in the book of Hebrews, aren't we? And what does your verse say? I'm looking there, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. I'm telling you that Moses was enabled to, by the Spirit of God, to look down the corridor of time and to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, Moses did, as he heard the truth of God being delivered to him, I'm not only going to identify myself with the people of God, I'm going to identify myself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing that as I identify myself with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm positioning myself to receive great reward. Great reward. Listen, my friends, I've told you this so many times, and I never get tired of telling you. I hope you don't get tired of hearing it. That is, God has always had one plan of salvation. Always one. If you hold to this idea that God tried one thing for a while, that didn't work so well, so He had to abandon it, and then He tried something else for a while, that didn't work so good, so He had to abandon it, and then He tried something else. My friend, you need to go back to the very beginning and read your Bible again. God's always had one plan of salvation. That plan is Jesus. And the people in the Old Testament were saved by faith in Jesus, just as we're saved by faith in Jesus. The only difference is they look forward in the Jesus who was to come, and we look backward in faith to the Jesus who has come. Don't you remember reading in John chapter 8 that the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached to Abraham back in the Old Testament? And so here's Moses. He hears the message of God. He hears the message about the affliction. It leads to glory. He hears the message about this nation of slaves. God's got great plans for them. He hears this message about ridicule and scorn. But he says, that ridicule and scorn identifies me with the coming Christ. So, having heard the message about affliction, and the message about this nation of slaves, and the message about this coming Christ, Moses chose, he said, the privilege and the pleasures and the possessions of Egypt are small. These things are great. I'm going to choose the great things, even if it means abandoning Egypt, even if it means turning my back on Egypt. Why, there have been others down through the years who have made a choice similar to the choice that Moses made. You may remember the story of Jim Elliot, who went to primitive Indians in Ecuador to try to win them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you know what happened to Jim Elliot there in Ecuador? Those Indians that he had gone to with the gospel of Jesus Christ killed him. They put him to death. And a lot of people in modern day America, with their love for the life of privilege and their love for the life of pleasures and their love for the life of possession, would say, What a fool Jim Elliot was. What a fool he was. Look at him. He goes down there to these primitive Indians and they put him to death. Well, let Jim Elliot himself answer for you whether he was a fool. Jim Elliot put it like this. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You can't keep life in this world. You can't keep your privilege and your pleasures and your possessions. But there's another life. It's the life offered you in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible urges you today to make that your priority. The Bible urges you to choose that. To put that above your privilege and your pleasures and your possessions. To identify with Jesus Christ today through saving faith in what He did on Calvary's cross. Yes, the Bible calls you to that kind of life. And the wisdom of Jim Elliot comes into play here. You cannot keep this life, but in the gospel there is a life that you cannot lose. And oh, if you will receive the Lord Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior. If you will turn from this world of sin and your life of sin to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He will give you something you cannot lose. A home in heaven. And if you go to heaven, you will bless the Lord Jesus through the countless, ceaseless ages there. For the grace of God that worked in your heart and caused you to choose the Lord Jesus Christ. So may God help you today to choose Jesus. And God's people said, let's bow together for prayer. Father, thank you for this time around your word. And Father, thank you for the example of Moses. And Lord, it may be that someone here is even now being faced with a choice similar to the choice that Moses was facing back centuries ago. Maybe someone here who finds the world to be so appealing, the life of sin to be so very enjoyable. Finds the passing things of this world to be so attractive. And on the other hand, the claims of Christ seem to be so difficult and so hard, so demanding. Father, we pray that you would give each person here who's facing that choice clear-sightedness today, so that each one will see that giving up the things of this world, the passing pleasures of sin, giving up what this world has to offer to follow Jesus is not the choice of a fool. It's the choice of wisdom. Because there is in Christ a glory that can never be taken from us. Oh God, help your people who have made that choice to rejoice in it anew today. And help the person who needs to make that choice to do so by the power of your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.